and welcome to Bunkum. It's me, your internet favorite, a Dan Grubb, and I have exciting news. If you are subscribed to Bunkum on iTunes, like three of you are maybe, or follow it on SoundCloud, you may have noticed a new addition in your feed, which was episode one of The Restory of History's Mysteries. This is a new show that I'm doing with my old friend and many-time collaborator, Aaron Fletcher Smith, where he is Niles Higginbottom's Barrier the Third, and I am, and we both are various characters throughout history. Niles has a time machine. He comes back in time and interviews people, and hilarity ensues. So we did the first episode about the Wright brothers, because it's the pilot episode. we didn't realize that going into it, but it's such a good pun. How can you not lean into it? So it's called The Restory of History's Mysteries. We're going to set up a separate feed for that, a separate, RSS and a separate online presence and everything. But for now, the first episode is up and there. If you're wherever you get this, you'll get that. I posted it at Senator Bigfoot on Twitter. You can find the link there. Or, like I said, if you are subscribed, or just click on the SoundCloud link for Bunkum, and it'll be there in the list of tracks near the tippy top. So, more of that to come. That's exciting. I love it. Let's get on with today's episode. But before we do, an important announcement that pays the bills. This episode of Bunkum is brought to you by Enormo Growth Extract. Enormo is made from all-natural oils, sustainably sourced from indigenous burial grounds and mystical bogs in the realm without name. Just a few drops of Enormo on the tongue, and you'll grow to 8 times your usual size for up to 4 hours. Prune those hard-to-reach branches. Change the light bulb in a chandelier. Get revenge on those who have wronged you. Finally, take down those Christmas decorations that have been on the roof since 2015. You can do anything with Enormo. Seek medical attention if your size does not return to normal after 4 hours. And if you use the promo code Bunkum, your first order will be 20% bigger. Get it? Oh, those crack-ups and brand get me every time. Vengeance and convenience are within your reach with Enormo. It's Bunkum! And now, the story of the most infamous crime of the early Mesozoic era, the mystery of the stolen Grand Canyon. Yes, the Grand Canyon had been stolen. Early one morning, tourists lined up along the canyon rim to marvel at nature's splendor, only to find it had all been filled in with dirt. What happened to the empty space that used to be there? The Arizona State Police were scratching their heads. After a few rounds with medicated anti-lice shampoo, they got back to work investigating the theft, but to no avail. That's where I come in. I'm Detective Lenny Auerman, Grand Canyon Village Police, Special Wonders of Nature Unit, and I had a theory. I believe the canyon was stolen by thieves, but I had no proof. So I went to Vacation Police Camp. After 43 years of hard work, long hours, and bribing my superiors, those superiors began to take notice. "Congratulations, Auerman," the chief said. "You're being promoted from detective to grizzled detective." "Thank you, sir. Now give me a black coffee and stay out of my way." "You're out of line, Auerman. You're a loose cannon. Someday you're gonna get someone killed." "Fine. Then I'll take a cappuccino. Extra foam! The station barista backed up a cement mixer and began pouring the foam into my mug. Say when, she said. I like more foam than most people, I guess. It took me 11 years to dig my way out. Not only had the criminal's trail gone cold, but my wife had remarried and I owed $600,000 in overdue library book fees. Things were getting desperate. I decided to try a dangerously unorthodox method to find the criminals. I would go to the scene of the crime. I started at the drab flatlands where the Grand Canyon once sat and began sweeping the area. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary, so I fanned out across northern Arizona and eventually came to Phoenix. I checked anywhere that someone might hide a giant hole. The University of Phoenix Stadium hadn't gotten any deeper. The Agua Fria River didn't have any new waterfalls. None of the surrounding mountains had become volcanoes. The criminals hadn't come this way. From Phoenix, I circled back through Arizona and north to Las Vegas. For weeks, I resisted the temptations of sin and focused solely on my investigation. Then, weakness took hold. I could no longer fight the siren song of base pleasure. Dear listener, I'm ashamed to say it, but I abandoned my duties as an officer of the law. For the next 8 months, I slept all day and spent all night going to magic shows. Oh, the cheap thrills, the dramatic dance music, the awful puns. I had reached a new low. I knew I'd hit rock bottom one morning as I awoke in a stranger's hotel room, surrounded by interlocking rings and levitating rope, my palms reeking of lighter fluid. I checked myself into a rehab center for magic addicts and began the hard work of learning to live an unprestidigitated life. I came out of it feeling healthier than I had in years, but wary that the lure of magic was something I would always struggle with. Las Vegas wasn't showing any results, so I took my investigation in the opposite direction, back through Arizona and into El Paso. 20 seconds later, I turned around and went back to Vegas. Whee! 14 magic-addled months later, I pulled into a Los Angeles motel with no recollection of whose car I was driving or how I got it. All I knew is there were sequins on the floor and a wand in the glove box. I checked into the motel and immediately got to work. I talked to local police, food truck drivers, delivery people, bartenders, and geologists. No one had heard of any new, large, empty spaces in town, but they all pitched their screenplays to me. That gave me an idea. I rushed to a studio and sold the movie rights to my investigation. We had a lot of great meetings, got Idris Elba attached as the lead, but it stalled out in development over the producer's fears that there wasn't enough action to make money in China. As I signed my NDAs and left my contact info around the studio, the 7th screenwriter to take a pass at the script approached me. She was a sharp, warm woman of color who was getting ready to be a showrunner on a network drama and insisted on an inclusion writer. Hey, that's awesome! Good for her! Hey, Ironman. Too bad about the movie. Most projects never make it to production, though, so don't let it get you down. Incidentally, you know what would be a good twist? Is if the police, city council, and National Park Service were taking the canyon's empty spaces bribes from a rival canyon organization who filled it in to crush the competition. That's the direction I would go. Anyway, see you around. Take care. I rushed to the airport and bought a first-class ticket on the next kayak back to Arizona. 6 years of paddling later, I got back to Grand Canyon Village. I paid a visit to my old partner, Hannah Myers. Hannah! How's Trix? Why, Lenny, I can't believe it's you. You've been gone so long, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. I know. I've been on this Grand Canyon case. Still? Oh, Lenny, the canyon's history. You've got to accept it. The whole town has moved on. Whoever filled it in is long gone. I know, but it's just not right. and I might have it worked out. It's loose, but it's a theory. I think a rival canyon's owners filled it in and paid off some locals with pieces of the hole to keep them quiet. That's ridiculous. No one would ever believe that. You're crazy. You've been working on this case too long. You're obsessed. You need a break. You really think so? I really do. Hey, why don't we grab a drink later and catch up? It'll take your mind off this wacky theory of yours. Maybe you're right. I'll call you tonight. See ya. She closed the door and I started walking the shambling, sagging walk of a defeated man. I was back to square one. I must not have been watching my step because my foot slipped in a gopher hole and I twisted my ankle. As I sat down and rubbed it, I noticed more gopher holes in Hannah's yard. Hundreds of them. I leaned over and picked one up. I immediately recognized the striations. These holes all came from the Grand Canyon. It was awfully clever to cut them down to gopher size. But who better than a cop to know how to hide evidence? She'd almost gotten away with it. I stuck the hole in my pocket and got in the kayak. I rode straight to the police station and went into the chief's office. Chief, I've got a lead on the Grand Canyon theft. I think it's... Hey, has your office always had a 300-foot chasm in it? The chief stammered. I couldn't tell if it was nerves or the fact that he was now 83 years old.
Probably never noticed it before.
We repainted 26 years ago, and it really complements the chasm that's always been here. I peered out the window with my handheld digital peer. And those sinkholes next to City Hall. Those didn't used to be there. And that gorge near the ranger station. I recognized that empty space. That up-and-coming Hollywood player was right. Whoever stole the Grand Canyon gave pieces of it to all of you so you'd keep quiet.
Ha, ha, oh, Armin, that's absurd, the chief said. What would I ever do with... I mean, how do you think we...
You know, it's... All right, put your hands up. He stood up and pointed his gun at me. He was remarkably quick for an 83-year-old. I didn't even notice him taking the flintlock musket off the wall, loading the muzzle with powder and a lead ball, and stuffing it all down with a ramrod before aiming it at me.
I think we've had just about enough of your investigation, Hourman.
I held my hands up and tried to reason with him. It's all over, Chief. Why don't you put the gun down? It's probably all rusty anyway. If you shoot, it could backfire on you.
I'm not falling for that old trick.
All right, well, how about this old trick? I grabbed the hole out of my pocket and threw it as I ducked behind the desk. He fired, but the hole swallowed up the shot and most of the musket. I pulled out my sidearm and aimed it at the chief.
I hate to do this, sir, but you've got the right to remain silent.
I know, I know. The chief, the town council, half the town's police officers, and dozens of park rangers were all sentenced to 40 years for theft and mutilation of a national park. The holes were taken into federal custody, and a team of specialists was brought in from the U.S. Geological Survey to reassemble the Grand Canyon. A few pieces had been melted down and sold on the black market, but work has begun to remove the remaining pieces of dirt hovering in midair. As for me, I'm now the commissioner. We rooted out the corruption and established an amnesty program where anyone can return stolen pieces of the Grand Canyon, no questions asked. Things have quieted down, and I spend most of my time walking around downtown, saying hi to the local business folks and petting nice dogs. I admit, I do enjoy a coin trick now and then, but I avoid the hard stuff. No birds or people getting sawn in half. I was practicing forcing the Three of Diamonds one day when Sergeant Nguyen came into my office.
Sir, something's up at the meteor crater.
That's Winslow's jurisdiction. They're asking for your assistance, sir. The crater, it's missing.
Well, here we go again. ¶¶